I'm going to preach on the subject of when God visited. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 19. When God visited, Christ's final approach and weeping over Jerusalem. That's where we're going to be. Luke chapter 19. We're going to read just three verses. Beginning at verse 41. Right before we read, would you agree that God should be welcomed? He should be a welcome guest whenever he visits? I hope you're with me. Is there a more honorable guest than God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ? If when he arrives, when Jesus, and he does still visit, by the way, he visits service after service. I'm going to be honest with you, if he doesn't visit, let's just pack it up and go home, okay? Because I am not good entertainment, and we're here not to put on a show at all, but we're here to invite the presence of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and we're here for God to visit us. When he arrives, shouldn't he be announced and celebrated? Now, obviously, all of these questions are rhetorical, and this is a resounding yes. He should be announced, and he should be celebrated. When we have church, we ought to say, the Lord is here, hallelujah, and I'm going to celebrate that the one who was pierced for me and crucified for me and resurrected for me is alive and well, and his spirit is here. When he draws near and wants to meet with us, shouldn't the meeting be well attended? We call those no-shows in the medical field, right? Where you have this appointment and you just don't show up. Isn't it a tragedy when God wants to meet and we don't show up? When he speaks, when God speaks, shouldn't the hearts of men listen and absorb every word? Man, we should be careful that when God is speaking, our hearts are wide open and sensitive to hear what he's saying and absorb every single word. That if doesn't he deserve that? I believe he does. When God offers a gift, wouldn't it be a tragedy if there were no ready arms open there to receive it? God has offered a gift in his only begotten, and it is a tragedy that many are not receiving his gift or there to, with open arms to accept God's precious, unspeakable gift. What a tragedy if he were to visit but were never acknowledged, if he would arrive but never welcomed. If he came to meet, but it was unattended, if his words were never heard or believed, or his gift was never received. That's the platform for the text, because that's exactly what was going on. Luke 19, verse 41. When he was come near, he beheld the city. The city is Jerusalem, and best I could understand, there's a point on the Mount of Olives. Hopefully someday I can visit this place. There's a point on the Mount of Olives where you can turn the corner and look over the city of Jerusalem and see the whole city. And we believe that that's where Christ came at the point of this scripture. Now don't miss it. This is right in between the triumphal entry. You remember that, right? When Jesus fulfills scripture by riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And the people hold palm branches, and this isn't Easter, you know, but I'm allowed to preach this, that they held palm branches and they waved them, and for once they honored Jesus with their words and songs, and they said, you remember, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. Do you remember that? What a glorious scene of people praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you remember that there were those among them that said, Jesus, tell your disciples to stop their praise and honoring of you in this way. And he said a verse that Laura and Dorothy often quote, that if these would hold their praise and shut their mouths, the rocks themselves would cry out in praise. This is right between that scene, and you remember the scene where Jesus comes into the temple and they are ripping off the people, that the leaders, are the religious folks, are ripping off the people and charging exorbitant amount of money, making it almost impossible for folks to offer sacrifices, and they were doing all of this right in the courts of the Lord. And our Savior, in righteous indignation, grabs tables and flips them and said, my Father's house is a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of thieves. And he drove out the animal. Do you remember that? We call it the cleansing of the temple. Sandwiched right in between the triumphal entry and the cleansing of the temple are these few verses that only Luke records in this time. It says, and when he came near, when he was come near, he beheld the city. And I highlighted these three words in yellow, so they jumped right off my page. And he wept over it. You ever seen a man cry? It's kind of not good. It's hard. You know, when I see a man crying, I try not to look at him. When I see my dad cry, I can't stand it. I look away. What about the Savior of the world? Looking over the people he came to rescue, and they have refused him. And even though they just praised him, he knew that that praise was a superficial one. And that they soon would holler out, crucify him, and offer him up to be executed. And they were refusing him. And the Bible says right here that it broke his heart. In our text, the Passion Week has already started. Just after the triumphal entry and just before the cleansing of the temple, don't miss the Savior weeping over Jerusalem. It's not the first time he wept. Let me give you a real quick point that he weeps still. And he looks at those that reject him now. And if he would look at Jerusalem, over the city of Jerusalem, and he would see those that he came to rescue and save from their sin, but they would not. And it broke his heart and moved him that in his earthly life, right before the cross, he would break down and cry and weep and cry. Don't you think that from heaven, if he did it from Mount Zion over Jerusalem, don't you think from heaven, and he looks over the whole world, that he wouldn't notice that after the cross, after all that he's done on the tree and resurrecting from the grave to love men and demonstrate that, don't you think it breaks his heart when folks run from the cross and deny it and reject it and put it off? It breaks the Savior's heart. He weeps over you, folks. When people rebel God's will, it breaks his heart. Boy, Jesus taught us something about God and in his appearance here on the earth. He taught us that what a compassionate God we have. What a God we have that is able to be touched. He longs for us and he loves us in the sweetest way, like a father for his children. What? It's not the first time he wept for them. In Luke chapter 13, it records an earlier account where Christ tenderly expressed divine compassion through an imagery of a hen and her chicks. Jesus wanted to gather the children of Israel, to gather Israel and brood them under his wings like a hen does for her chicks. That's what he wanted. But they wouldn't. The Bible says, but they did. Christ willed it, but they would not. They didn't want that. They refused it. And then Christ, weeping over Jerusalem, then foretold their desolation and wept. Now in Luke 19, this is his final approach in this life to Jerusalem, and we see the Savior weeping. I wonder if there's any in God's house that this could be Christ's final approach to you. You know what I mean. You know that we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised this afternoon. We just don't know with this life. What we know is certain is, right, we've heard it said death and taxes and whatever. Now, we have certainties in Christ, but my point is this, is that today we live, but tomorrow we don't know. It's uncertain. It's in God's hands what tomorrow is. What if today were the Lord's final approach to your heart? To knock on your heart and plead with weeping eyes and a strained throat, sobbing, saying, please, I've loved you this much. And I've loved you, and I've loved you, and I don't know what else to do. I'm calling you, and I'm convicting you. I've done all the work to save you, but will you accept it? The final approach, is it possible? I see in this text that the Bible says he came near. Our Savior was drawing near. He was drawing near because his hour had come to be crucified, and Jerusalem was where the plot would unfold. All this time, he was born. Our experience with Jesus on this earth is a brief one. It's 33 years, and his whole life is building to climax on the cross and in the resurrection, and the hour is at hand, so he's drawing near to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the city that the Lord had chose to put his name there. It was a special city to him. In fact, its people were God's chosen people. God created this nation of Israel from scratch, beginning with Abraham. Do you remember that God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees? And he said, take a look at the stars. Your children will be like that. That is the children of Israel. Take a look at the sand. I'm going to create a nation that's going to outnumber the sand on the seashore. God created Israel out of, they were no nation, but God created them. They were special to him. They were his people. He loved them. Are you with me? For centuries, the Lord dwelt with them and dealt with them. He did miracles among them. He led them. He rebuked them. He got furious with them. He was patient with them. He sent prophets to them. He delivered them. He protected them. He provided for them. But they would not. Do you know that the Savior draws near even today? The scripture that says today is the day of salvation and now is the acceptable time is a timely verse even this morning. That the Savior draws near today. Jesus, hallelujah, that he still does. It's grace that he still does. It's mercy for him to show up and to knock on our heart's door again and again. It's his long suffering, and glory be to his name that he deals with us the way that he does. He has long dealt with us. He has long provided for us and done miracles among us and showed his goodness to us. He has long protected us. He has delivered us over and over. Glory be to his name. But I tell you this, he draws near again this morning. But in this text, the Savior is rejected. The scripture says that he came and beheld the city. And he wept over it. They refused to believe that Jesus was the Messiah and caused him to weep. This caused him to weep. Hours before, they hailed praises on the Son of David, but in hours to come, they will crucify him. You think Jesus was giddy when he rode in on the donkey and they're waving palm branches and saying, hallelujah, be to... No, I don't think he was giddy at all. I think he knew exactly what was going on. His attitude wasn't giddy. As he rolled that colt through the Jerusalem's gate, he knew their praise was superficial. So now he's weeping for them. The Lord weeps over superficial praise. Amen. Praise that's surface level, that doesn't mean anything. That praise that's not warranted in the truth. He weeps over that. He wept for them. The prophesied deliverer had come, but they were refusing, and their unbelief was condemning them. The inhabitants of Jerusalem largely wanted Jesus to die as a criminal. So can't you see Jesus weeping more? They despised and rejected him, but he loved them with a mighty love. So Jesus wept more. Those in Jerusalem wanted an immediate leader, a military leader, to revolt and free them from Roman rule, but they missed the need of a Savior to deliver them from sin's rule. So Jesus wept. They needed Jesus for redemption and eternal life, but they're soon going to deny him and deliver him up to be executed. So Jesus wept more over Jerusalem. He wept because this was the plan from heaven. He was the plan from heaven, but they didn't recognize it. He was grieved because there's no other redemption plan coming. And they were rejecting the, do you hear me? There was no plan B. There's no other way. Today, there's not going to be an amendment to the salvation protocol. It's Jesus. And it causes Christ to weep, and pastors to weep, and mothers and fathers to weep when their people or their children or their family do not recognize the one and only way of salvation through Jesus Christ. He wept because this was the only plan. There wasn't going to be another plan. He wept because their sacrificial system and the traditions of the elders were powerless to remove sin and make men righteous. What they put all their stock in wasn't getting any ground in saving them. The blood of bulls and goats were insufficient sacrifices. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So Jesus wept more and more. With broken sounds of a strained voice, I wrote this morning, the Lord gave it to me like this. With broken sounds of a strained voice between sobs of sorrow, the Savior uttered, "If you had only known the way to peace. Oh, I wish all of you, oh, you of all people had known. But now it's too late and peace is hidden from you." Oh, how Jesus wants you to know the way of peace today. What do you mean peace? I mean that our sin creates a hostility between us and a holy God. Our fallen nature and our behavior and our fallen sin, our pattern, the way we are, makes hostility between us and a holy God. A holy God must look on sin and judge it. He has to, for he's holy. So it creates hostility. But God, before the foundation of the world, said, "I have a plan to remove all of that that is written against you and take it out of the way." How, Brother Josh? By nailing it to the cross of my only begotten Son, I have made peace for you. Jerusalem, your peace is in Jesus Christ. 2017, men and women, God made peace for you with him through his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, and he wants you to know it. You, of all people, he wants you to know it. He wants you to know it. I'm talking to you. And he wants you to recognize it and appreciate it and welcome it and accept it and submit to it for your salvation. Wow. Now don't miss. I only got a little bit more. I'm almost done. Can you believe it? It's because I typed it all out. I told myself, okay, if I type it out and stick to what I write, we'll get done by noon. And now I can tell Pastor I did good. I got spit all over this, but I can still read it. Okay, that's nonsense. Let me keep preaching. Don't miss Christ's wisdom in this story. I'm just bragging on him, okay? Don't miss his wisdom. Because the scripture says more. The text says, he says, and it's in red in verses 42, 43, and 44. He said, if you had known even thou, you of all people, if you had known at this, at least in this day, the things which belong unto you, priests, but now they are hid from your eyes, for the day shall come upon you. Now, don't forget, weeping Savior, broken voice, sobbing Lord, sorrowful, heavy-hearted. And he looks upon them and he said, if you had only known your hour of visitation, but you haven't. So, in verse 43, the day shall come upon you. Weep, weep, sob, sob. That your enemies weep, weep, sob, sob. Shall cast a trench about you and compass you round about and keep thee on every side, and they shall lay thee even with the ground. And your children sob, sob. You know, this is exactly how Jerusalem was defeated just 40 years after he said this. That the Roman commander Titus would lay siege to Jerusalem in AD 70 by surrounding the city, just like Jesus said, on April 9th, cutting off all the supplies of and trapping the thousands that had came to Passover. He trapped them all inside. And then for months, they set embankments up on the walls, and they cut the people off, gradually starving all of the city's inhabitants. The Romans held the city just like that all summer and eventually defeated various sections of the city one by one. Jesus knew what was going to happen. The Bible says that the final overthrow of the city happened in September of AD 70. And by the way, historical accounts read that they did just that. They just turned over every stone. And the city was utterly destroyed. Can I tell you that it's not going to end well for those that reject Jesus? Stay with me. It's not going to end well for those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, devastation far greater than that happened in AD 70 will happen to their souls. The book of Revelation records the end, and it says that books will be opened and people will be judged by them. The Bible says there's another book that in one last chance, the book of the Lamb's book of life will be opened and sought through. But the scripture records that those that reject Jesus, their names have been blotted out. They're not there. And because they're not there, there will be a voice from the throne that will eternally condemn them to separation from God and torments in hell. This, the Apostle Paul said, is the second death. That's horrible. Why? God's a mean God. No, he ain't. That's not good English, but that's what I feel like saying. No, he ain't. He's a loving God. And a compassionate God who loves you. But you reject his way of forgiveness and righteousness. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Only through Jesus Christ. So don't miss his wisdom. Don't miss his love. Boy, this is what I just want to bask in. Hey, Jesus, if you want to brood me and gather me under your wings, I want to. I want you to hold me close. And I'm not getting weird. I'm saying he's my Savior and my protector and my best friend. And I want to be brooded by Christ. I want to be gathered close to Christ. I love him. He's my Savior and Lord. And oh, how he loved Jerusalem enough to weep for him. Boy, you don't weep for just anybody. I feel bad for folks, but I don't often weep. Jesus wept because he loved him. His love was this big, so his weep could be this big. He endured their rejections and resolved to redeem them. Why? Because his love was this big. He elected not to abort the mission and call for legions of angels to rescue him from the cross. Why? Because his love was this big. He provided peace with God because he loved him. He kept his promise because he loved them. He weeps because his heart is torn that the opportunity for peace is soon passing and their hearts were hardened, yet he loves them. Amen. He loves me. Amen. He loves you just like that. He's no respecter of persons. He weeps for you and he loves you just like that. My final application and conclusion. Look at the end of verse 44. And shall slay thee, or shall lay thee even with the ground, he says, of their enemies. And thy children with thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. And also highlighted in yellow, starting with the word because, I highlighted because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. You didn't recognize when God visited. You didn't announce his coming. You didn't celebrate it. You didn't hear and believe his words. You didn't respect the prophets he sent to you. You rejected them. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Let me just say this to the church. I have two paragraphs, little ones. As I prayed this morning, I thought this is what I would say. Please don't miss your hour of visitation. Please recognize it. This could be Christ's final approach to you. Please do not cause our Savior more weeping because you refuse his salvation. And I read this quote from William Barclay. Listen, there is needless pain and suffering caused by foolish rebellion against the will of God. It's needless to rebel against God's will. It's better for you. It's perfect for you. Please don't cause Jesus to shed tears. And then I read it already, but I'll read just a part of it again from Isaiah 53. It's a pledge of devotion to you and your family to be saved from God's wrath. Peace was purchased with Christ's chastisement. He was beaten so you could be made whole. Let me read this. I read it this morning from the NLT, New Living Translation, but today I'm going to read right now in the King James. And this is your altar call, okay? Speak, prophesying of Christ, he is despised and rejected of men. Think of Jesus and the cross, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Don't esteem him not, man. What a Savior he is. He's worth your service. He loves you. I'm just going to read a couple more verses. Surely he's borne all of our griefs. He's carried our sorrows, yet we didn't esteem him smitten, stricken of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We like sheep have gone astray. Oh, but come back to Christ today. He weeps for you. Would you stand? No, JR, no music, brother. Would everybody please just bow your heads? And would you please do business with God? He weeps for you. He's provided for you. He's drawn near. He's granted salvation. If only you will. Will you today? If you will, won't you grab the hand of someone beside you and say, come up there and pray with me? Or if you're uncomfortable with that, come up here and let's pray and submit to the great gift of the Lord. I believe that there's folks here today that Jesus weeps for. I believe that he knows the end, and I believe that you know the end. I believe you know that if I reject Christ, I am risking a lot. And I have only known rebellion against Christ, but you feel that the Lord is drawing near to you and that he's drawing you to him. Don't reject that. Don't turn from it. The visitation of the Lord is a precious one. It's something to be loved and cherished. So if he calls to you this morning, you come. Don't push it off. Don't wait till tomorrow. Submit your life to Christ, brethren and sisters in Christ. Submit your life to Christ. Lost one that you've never prayed to be saved, please. I don't know what else to do. I just feel like the broken heart of the Lord. I just want to say, please come and submit your life to Christ. It's not fancy. It's not hard. It's, Lord, I've sinned and I need you to be my Savior. And I believe that you're the Son of God, that your death was for me and that you rose from the grave. That's it. When he died on the cross, he said, finished. I did it all. It's done. I bought you with the precious price of my blood. Church member today that's been saved, don't reject God's will. He weeps for the church member that have seen and been a part of Christ and is sliding in the other direction. That breaks his heart too. Are you with me? It breaks his heart when the word doesn't mean what it used to. It hurts his heart when you become an Indian giver with him. You have given him this part of your life and you've given him that part of your life. But after so long, Lord, I'll just take that back. He weeps for you. When he has a call, when he has a calling for you and your family and you ignore it, I'm just pleading with you today. He's drawing near. He's visiting. Don't rebel. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name, and I've done my best to preach your word. I pray, Lord, that the people would pray. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would see your wisdom and see your love and see your grace and how that you've drawn near to us. Even now, you draw near to us. Even after we fail, you draw near to us. Even when we've turned aside and we've, like sheep, have gone astray, you still were broken for us because your love is unimaginable and you're a compassionate Father and Savior. Lord, I pray that there would be folks to submit to Christ today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing Nothing But the Blood, brother. Go ahead.
What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Praise him.
What can make me
whole? He can make you whole.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Hey, sing it like the blood is precious.
Oh, precious is the flow
that made me white. White as snow. Hallelujah.
As snow.
No other fount. There's no other fount.
Fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I said no song and then I changed it. God bless you. In Jesus, God bless you. Go in the Lord this week. Go. What a message. We are ambassadors for Christ. Go with it. Run quickly with it. I don't know how long he'll wait. Now, he came just like he promised the first time. He's going to come just like he promised the second time. And his commission to us is that we would take this gospel and declare it from the housetops. So in your cubes, share it. On the line, share it. In your home, share it. Talk about this thing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, let's finish like this. God is good?
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
Amen.